The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 9, text number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 22nd, 2015, in Pretoria, South Africa.
Savaita Daiva Pratipaditam Giram Devim Daivim Parigyata Paratmanirnaya Tam Bhakti Bhavo Bhagranada Sadvaram Parishuto Rushavatam Dhruvachati. Sa Dhruva Maharaj.
Certainly.
Tada.
At that time.
Eva.
Just.
Pratipaditam,
having attained
giram,
speech,
daivim,
transcendental,
parigyata,
understood,
paraatma,
of the Supreme Soul,
nirnaya,
the conclusion,
tam,
to the Lord,
bhakti bhava.
Situated in devotional service,
Abhyagrinat,
offered prayers,
asatvaram,
without any hasty conclusion,
parishuta,
widely known,
Urushravasam,
whose fame,
Dhruvachiti,
Dhruva, whose planet would not be annihilated.
Dhruva, whose planet would not be annihilated.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. At that time, Dhruva Maharaj became perfectly aware of the Vedic conclusion and understood the absolute truth in his relationship with all living entities. In accordance with the line of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, whose fame is widespread, Dhruva, who in the future would receive a planet which would never be annihilated even during the time of dissolution, offered his deliberate and conclusive prayers. Purport. There are many important items to be considered in this verse. First of all, the relationship between the absolute truth and the relative material and spiritual energies is here understood by a student who has complete knowledge of the Vedic literature. Dhruva Maharaj never went to any school or academic teacher to learn the Vedic conclusion. But because of his devotional service to the Lord, as soon as the Lord appeared and touched his forehead with his conch shell, automatically the entire Vedic conclusion was revealed to him. That is the process of understanding Vedic literature. One cannot understand it simply by academic learning. The Vedas indicate that only to one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as well as in the spiritual master is the Vedic conclusion revealed. The example of Dhruva Maharaj is that he engaged himself in devotional service to the Lord according to the order of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. As a result of his rendering such devotional service with great determination and austerity, the personality of Godhead personally manifested himself before him. Dhruva was only a child. He wanted to offer nice prayers to the Lord, but because he lacked sufficient knowledge, he hesitated. But by the mercy of the Lord, as soon as the Lord's conch shell touched his forehead, he became completely aware of the Vedic conclusion. That conclusion is based on proper understanding of the difference between jiva and paramatma, the individual soul and the supersoul. The individual soul is forever a servant of the supersoul, and therefore his relationship with the supersoul is to offer service. This is called bhakti yoga or bhakti bhav. Dhruva Maharaj offered his prayers to the Lord not in the way of the impersonalist philosophers, but as a devotee. Therefore, it is clearly said here, bhakti bhava. The only prayers worth offering are those offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose reputation is spread far and wide. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to have the kingdom of his father, but his father refused even to allow him to get on his lap. In order to fulfill his desire, the Lord had already created a planet known as the pole star, Dhruvaloka, which was never to be annihilated even at the time of the dissolution of the universe. Dhruva Maharaj attained this perfection not by acting hastily, but by patiently executing the order of his spiritual master, and therefore he became so successful that he saw the Lord face to face. Now he was further enabled by the causeless mercy of the Lord to offer fitting prayers to the Lord. To glorify or offer prayers unto the Supreme, one needs the Lord's mercy. One cannot write to glorify the Lord unless one is endowed with his causeless mercy. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschanjajesha Tarine. So how is it that Dhruva Maharaj was able to get the darshan of Krishna himself, Supreme Personality of Godhead? He did so by engaging himself in devotional service according to the order of his spiritual master. This is a very important point. It's not that you can directly approach Krishna. One is meant to go through the medium of the spiritual master in order to achieve Krishna. Therefore, the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is of the utmost importance. Sometimes we hear people minimize the importance of this relationship, but that is actually demoniac philosophy, to minimize the relationship with the spiritual master. Because here it is, we see how Dhruva was able to attain the darshan of Krishna by serving his spiritual master faithfully, Narada Muni. So one should never minimize the importance of the spiritual master. That is actually doing, one is doing a great disservice to someone if one minimizes the importance of the spiritual master. As Prabhupada refers to a verse here in his purport, he's talking about the verse from the Shveshvatara Upanishad. Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite kitita yarta prakashyante mahatmanaha. Only unto those who have unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the scriptures are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So, a spiritual master is to be given equal faith as the Vedic scriptures. Of course, that is referring to the bona fide spiritual master, not the bogus spiritual master. Sometimes we hear, it's also said that there's no such thing as a bogus spiritual master, but Prabhupada clearly uses the term bona fide spiritual master again and again, hundreds if not thousands of times in his teachings, bona fide spiritual master, to distinguish from these bogus so-called gurus, you see, who say that the individual self is the supreme, or the impersonal Brahman is the highest understanding of the absolute truth, etc. So it's very important that one understands what is the difference between a bogus guru and a bona fide guru, and that one actually takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation, putting as much faith in his words as one puts in the Vedic scriptures. Anything short of that is many people now, within ISKCON, many people in ISKCON are trying to minimize the importance of the spiritual master. They're trying to minimize the importance. This is actually due to envy. And it's, it is not be done. It should not be done. It's going on because of envy. So we have to actually have full faith in the order of the spiritual master. Taking it just as we respect the Vedic literature, we have to respect the words of the spiritual master. Otherwise, we will not be able to understand the importance of the Vedic wisdom. We will not be able to come realize in Krishna consciousness. If one doesn't put faith in Guru and in the scriptures, the Upanishad is clearly saying such a person cannot realize Krishna. He cannot realize the import of the Vedic wisdom. Dhruv Maharaj had full faith in the scripture and in the words of the spiritual master. Therefore, he achieved the darshan of Krishna himself.
Another question now?
No, we're not open for questions yet. That'll come later in the lecture.
Because I have a question before I forget.
All right. We'll go ahead and facilitate your question.
No, you go ahead and say. I don't want to forget.
No, go ahead. It's really quite amazing here that Dhruva was so dedicated and to Krishna that even Krishna fulfilled his material, even have a material desire, that he wanted to have a kingdom greater than his father's. But that as soon as he saw Krishna, he gave up that desire. You know, I was looking after a broken piece of glass, but now I've achieved the rarest gem. After having the darshan of this particular incarnation is known as Prishnagarbha. After having this darshan of Prishnagarbha, he lost all desire for worldly kingdom, but still he got it. Actually, he had to stay in the material world. So sometimes we should be careful. We may, if we desire something else, that may prolong our sojourn here in this material world. That's why we should have only one desire, and that's pure devotional service, you see. We really should just diligently kick out any other considerations. My dear Lord, please cleanse from my heart any desire I have separately from pure devotional service. That should be our mood. If I have any desire other than pure devotional service, my dear Lord, please cleanse it away from my heart. That's all right, just sit down in here. Whatever it is. It may be a spiritual desire even. But still, that's all right. Let Krishna decide what should be done, what should not be done. You see? A devotee may have a desire to take birth after birth to make the whole world Krishna conscious, but the real position is, my dear Lord, whatever you want to do with me, that's fine. You see? Whatever service, you want me to come back to Goloka and fan you with a peacock feather for all of eternity, a peacock fan for all of eternity, that's fine. Whatever you want to do with me, my Lord. If you want me to stay in the cycle of birth and death, preaching until the whole world accepts Vedic culture, all right, I'll do that. You see, that's the mood. The fully sold-out servant of the Lord is willing to take any service, go to any planet, material or spiritual, and do whatever the Lord wants for all of eternity. He makes no conditions. You see? You want me to remain with my wife? Fine. You want me to be a sannyasi? Fine. Whatever you want me to do, my Lord, I fully surrender myself unto you. That is the mood of pure devotion. And that is the only way you can be fully satisfied. You see? So we can have our plans, that's okay. Because Krishna gives us some freedom. All right, you want to do this? Go for it. Prabhupada would say, what do you want to do for Krishna? Prabhupada, what do you want me to do? What do you want to do for Krishna? You see, Prabhupada? So that is there. You have a desire to do something with Krishna. Well, I want to understand books. I want to give lectures. You know, you have desires, that's fine. And you can try to fulfill those desires, it's okay. I want to distribute 100 Bhagavad Gitas in one day. That's nice, you see. But ultimately, the devotee simply says, my dear Lord, ultimately, I'm just your puppet. You make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. Whatever you want me to do, I'm simply your sold-out servant. So, this mood of pure devotional service then enables one, as Prabhupada points out here, you see. When you have that full surrender to the Lord, then the Lord enables you to glorify Him with the proper words. When you fully surrender yourself unto Krishna, then Krishna gives you the intelligence how to speak in such a way that glorifies Krishna very nicely. Someone who tries to glorify Krishna but doesn't have devotion for Krishna, make some nice poetry about Krishna, they cannot make suitable glorification of Krishna. But that person who is fully surrendered to Krishna, you see, it's like Lord Rama, what a classic example, Lord Rama, what choice words he has used to glorify Krishna. You see the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyasa rishabhitam jagadanda kotim jachakstarasti jagadanda jayandarantam andantarasta panamanu chayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. And see how much endowed Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is by dint of his full surrender to Krishna and Guru for translating it in such an amazing way. That verse he translates in this way. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. You see, the poets of this world, they try to write some beautiful poetry based on what they're experiencing in this world. But they can't compete with these Vaishnava poets, because these Vaishnava poets are expressing the beauty, the wonder, the truth which is existing in the spiritual world, which is far greater than anything here. This is only a perverted reflection. The beauty of the spiritual world, that's the original pure beauty. The beauty of the material world is only a perverted reflection. You see? You try to make something beautiful based on the beautiful things of this world, it will be always be imperfect. But when you glorify and poeticize that which is beyond this material world, you see, then there's no limit to how amazingly beautiful it can be. How amazingly beautiful the description can be. Because it's describing that which is indeed unlimitedly amazing. You see, every aspect of Krishna is unlimitedly amazing. Every movement of his hand, every blink of his eyebrow, absolutely everything about Krishna is unlimitedly amazing. So if one tries to appreciate that unlimited, instead of trying to appreciate some beautiful thing in this world, like they have so many pop songs, you know, about this girl or that girl, they all fall short of the mark, you see. But when one actually glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we see these great Vaishnava acharyas are doing, then it's astoundingly wonderful how beautifully the Lord can be described, you see. Advaitam achyuttam anadam ananta rupam adyang purnana purusham navayovanam cha Vedeshu durlama durlama mambad bhakapatma bhakto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity. No, that the other verse. Yes, that's right. No, the translation is I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is without a second, whose form is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, who is formless, endless, who is the beginning in the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of a blooming youth. Every single word is just packed with unlimited meaning, you see. This transcendental poetry by these great Vaishnava acharyas, every word has unlimited meaning, unlimited meaning. So we can learn how to appreciate these descriptions of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see, these amazing, most amazing literatures in the whole, all of existence. These are the most amazing literatures, directly describing that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence, by whom reality itself is defined. It's not that Krishna is part of reality. Krishna is the manifester of reality itself, you see. Someone says, is Krishna real? I mean, that's a joke. there is no reality except what Krishna is manifesting. So how you can, is Krishna real? There is no reality other than what Krishna is manifesting. Is it? Reality itself is the pride, is the manifestation of Krishna's desire to enjoy. That's it. When philosopher asked, why is there anything? You see, he had a discussion with Prabhupada, some philosopher in Mexico, philosophy professor. Why? His question was, why is there anything? You see? But that's, everything exists actually for the pleasure of Krishna. That's why there is anything. That's why is there anything? Why is there everything? Everything exists because of Krishna's desire to enjoy. That's why it exists, you see. Everything exists because of Krishna's desire to enjoy. Why does Krishna exist? Because it's a desire to enjoy. Why does Krishna come from? He comes from Krishna. They perplex, where does Krishna come from? If Krishna, everything comes from Krishna, where does Krishna come from? Well, if everything comes from Krishna, then Krishna also comes from Krishna. And that's confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ramaddi Murtish. What is that word? Yeah, Ramaddi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan Nana Avataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishnasvayam Samabhavat Paramapamanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna in the different avatars in the world in the forms of Ramana, Sringa, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. In other words, Lord Brahma says, well, actually, Krishna comes from Govinda. But who is Govinda? Govinda is Krishna.
Is it?
Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha. So Krishna is self-manifested, and everything else that exists is Krishna manifested. Even Krishna is Krishna manifested. So absolutely everything is Krishna manifested. You see. So since you are the manifestation of Krishna, therefore you are meant to serve Krishna by your very nature. And if you don't do so, you're simply cutting your own throat. As is everyone in the modern day world, they're cutting their own throats by not engaging in the service of Krishna. It's amazing. We're in the middle of a planet right here. There's 7.3 billion people who are completely in illusion. Can you imagine? 7.3 billion people are a complete total illusion right now at this minute. That's how bad it is right now. 7.3 billion people are completely in illusion. They don't even know who they are. And they're trying to run a world society in a state of complete illusion. No wonder there's so much chaos. Is it? Complete chaos is going on all over the world. All hell is breaking loose here and there, you see. Absolute hell is breaking loose, like that lady who drove the car down the sidewalk in Las Vegas, you see. She was frustrated because she was homeless, and wherever she parked her car to sleep, they would chase her away. She got frustrated and just drove her car down the sidewalk and killed one person and seriously injured so many people because she was frustrated. Is it? The society is completely crazy. There's no, when you move the center, then everything falls apart. As the poet Yeats said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. But then Yeats predicted a Messiah who would come, a second coming. The poem is actually called The Second Coming. He predicted a second coming of a great personality who would solve the situation, you see. Actually, that is Prabhupada. He is that great personality who has come to bring sanity back to the world, you see. That great personality is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, if we... our duty is to serve the mission of Prabhupada, to restore peace and happiness to this world. Therefore, we should know Prabhupada's teachings very well so we can repeat them as they are without any deviation. As Prabhupada told us, that we simply keep these teachings keep it as it is, he said, then you'll take over the whole world. He wrote a letter to Jagadish. We'll take over the whole world. So it seems impossible how this little tiny, you know, minority religion, the Hare Krishna movement, could take over the whole world. But actually it's going to happen in due course. When we as a society become actually fixed up and strictly following Prabhupada's instructions and not deviating, is it? This movement, the movement is not growing as fast, not taking as much hold because of our own deviations, you see. So we have to, as a world society, of ISKCON society, it's our duty now to be very, very strictly following Prabhupada and not throwing our own concoctions in. Read the books, preach the books, live the books, eat everything that should base everything on the books, you see. Read the books, live, eat everything, eat, sleep, maintain everything, according to Prabhupada's books. Everything we do has to be based according to Prabhupada's books. And flood this world with the Prabhupada's books. Just like they in World War II, they were dropping the bombs. We see the movies from World War II, you know, they're dropping the bombs on Germany, the Allies. So in this way, we should drop the bombs. These books, just drop these bombs everywhere in Prabhupada's books. Let everyone get Prabhupada's books. Because we see that when somebody reads Prabhupada's books, then they become keenly interested in Krishna consciousness. We tried in Austin, there's something called meetup.com, where you can have meetings and advertise and get people to join your group. We had 30 people sign up, but not one people showed up for the meeting, you see, at the temple. But then people who were coming, someone got a book and read something, and they... We see the people who come, the people who got a book, they will come, you see. We are seeing practically in Austin. Those who read the books, those who get a book and read it, and they come to the temple, you see. So you want to increase your people to the temple, increase book distribution. That's the key. You want to that every ISKCON temple is flooded with hundreds and thousands of people, then increase book distribution. That's how it's going to happen. That's our most powerful weapon is Prabhupada's books. The more we can flood this planet with the books of Prabhupada, the more this whole world has become revolutionized. So now you had a question, we can try to answer it. Mm. Urmata, you had a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
What was the question?
About when you say that the devotees are in ISKCON are also envious, neophyte. So what is the value of practicing Krishna consciousness? Those senior devotees are like that, so what is the hope for us?
Well, sometimes there is envy in our society. I don't say senior devotees. Senior devotees are not envious. Senior devotees are the ones who are not envious. Sometimes there are less advanced devotees who are envious and who minimize the position of the spiritual masters.
What is good about practicing Krishna bhakti? Because we remain on the same level.
So the question is, if even people who are in Krishna consciousness movement are envious, then what's the good of Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness means that one actually becomes free of envy. It just means someone who's still envious in their heart, in spite of his practicing Krishna consciousness, it means they're not properly practicing Krishna consciousness, that's all. It's like the doctor gives the medicine. The doctor is proper. The medicine is proper. But the patient doesn't follow the doctor's directions, then he may remain diseased. You see what I'm saying? So the medicine is good. The doctor is good. Now it's up to the patient to strictly follow the instructions of the physician so he can get well. If he thinks, what does the doctor know? I think I'll do it my own way. Well, you see, then it doesn't work. Someone may think, well, you know, I think this, I think that will, you know, I was taught when I joined the movement, if you say, I think, you should go into the closet. So one day I slipped it. I said, I think, so I voluntarily went to the closet for a few minutes suspended. I went and locked myself in the closet for a while because I said, I think, you see. We don't give our own speculations. We simply take but is coming from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What has Prabhupada said? That's what we do. That's it. Finished. What do we know?
Did Prabhupada say to go in the closet?
Devotees told me that Prabhupada had said that, so I put faith in it. I put my faith in the devotees because Prabhupada wasn't there to reconfirm it. So this is some questions. Okay. Since Dhruva Loka does not get annihilated at the time of annihilation, does this mean that the miseries of birth, death, old, and disease does not exist in Dhruva Loka? It certainly would seem that way, doesn't it? If the planet itself doesn't get annihilated, it would certainly seem that the fourfold miseries are not manifested there, certainly not very much, if at all. If you really want to know, you got to go and find out. You have to go there and find out. I never heard Prabhupada say about it, so I don't want to speculate. It would seem reasonable that they're not going to be, it's not going to be like being on this planet. But I can't say for sure because I haven't been there. At least I don't remember. I may have been there, but I don't remember when I was there.
Dhruva is eternal.
The fact is that Dhruva Maharaj at one point did leave his body.
That's from the material world.
Yes. He did leave his body, and he went on a bike on the airplane back. Did he go to Dhruva Loka on the airplane? Uh-huh. From what Guru Maharaj is confirming, it's a Vaikuntha planet, so it would be reasonable then to understand on a Vaikuntha planet, there is no such thing as birth, death, old age, disease.
But one can fall from there.
But you could fall from that planet, that's about it. Okay, one devotee was preaching that if a devotee, being truly and sincerely, desires a particular devotional service, then the devotee has the ability to make his desire Krishna's desire. If this is true, should the devotee make every endeavor to fulfill his devotional service, to choose the devotional service he prefers, or should he just follow the orders of his superiors? I'll look at it from different angles here. Prabhupada defines a Krishna conscious being in the Bhagavatam Purport. He says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, Prabhupada says that about a Krishna conscious being. So if a devotee thinks, well, I'd like to be a Krishna conscious being, so therefore let me see what I can do to save the fallen souls of this world. How can I live my life in such a way that I can be instrumental in delivering these living entities back to Krishna? Of course, Krishna is the ultimate doer, but how can I be... Prabhupada says the devotee is planning how he can deliver them. If one's thinking, well, I think that's a wonderful thing, I'd like to live my life in such a way, is that devotee following his own desire, or is he following the orders of his spiritual master? You see? But if he thinks, well, let me stay in the material world and do it here because that's where it can be done from. But that you leave up to Krishna. But his mood should be, this Prabhupada defines the mood of a Krishna conscious being, is he's always planning and thinking how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to Godhead. So the devotee should be in that mood. And that's because that's the desire of Krishna. That's the desire of his spiritual master. Now, where he's going to be, that he should leave that to Krishna. You want me to do it here? You want me to do it on another planet? The moon planet? You know, wherever you want to send me to do it, another universe, I don't care. But or you want me to be in Goloka Vrindavan? But still, my mood should be delivering all the living entities back to Godhead. Even if I'm in Goloka Vrindavan. The fact is that a living entity can simultaneously be in both worlds. Prabhupada confirms how Prahlad Maharaj is both in the material world and the spiritual world at the same time. So I would say whatever is stated by Prabhupada in his books that is a bona fide mentality for a devotee to have, you can certainly do that. You can certainly cultivate it. You see, when Prabhupada says that the Krishna conscious person is always planning and thinking how to deliver all living entities back to Godhead, you can certainly put yourself in that mood. Okay, I'm going to live my life for that purpose. How am I going to deliver all living entities back to Godhead? That's following Prabhupada's instructions. It's not you're making Prabhupada's desire your desire. So that's the way you do it. You don't say, well, I'm going to take my desire and then force Krishna to accept it. No, that's wrong. You take the desire of Krishna and you take the desire of Srila Prabhupada. You take those desires and you embrace them and make them your desires. That's the way to do it. Then you don't have to worry about convincing Krishna to accept your desire. You don't have to even worry about it. You have to study the books and see what Krishna desires, see what the Acharyas desire, see what the Goswamis desire. They were simply acting for the welfare of all living entities, the Goswamis, you see. What is the mood of the Goswamis? What is the mood Prabhupada says I should have? What is the mood my spiritual master says I should have? Let me simply take that as my desire. That's the proper mood. And then you don't have to worry about convincing Krishna to accept your mood. No. Study the book, see what the mood is you're supposed to have, and embrace it. That's the answer. Okay? Okay, we have a question on the internet. Okay, let's check it out. Okay, Lord Shiva was deep in meditation, but when Parvati agitated him for sense pleasure, he agreed to the proposal, and as a result, Kartikeya was born. That's stated in the purport, huh? Mm-hmm. How can we neophytes overcome sense pleasure? When you don't allow, stay aloof from the womanly association. That's the best thing. I believe she touched his genital. Is that the best thing? I don't remember.
Okay. Yes.
So stay brahmacharis. No woman can come and agitate you while you're doing your meditation. And if you're married, you got to train your wife not to do such things, to agitate you for sex. Either be a brahmachari or train your wife not to agitate you for sex. That's all. And then you'll be okay.
Well, one can practice Krishna. Huh? If one takes shelter of Krishna fully, but Lord Shiva was a grahastha, so
yes,
he could do it, but that does not give us the chance to do
Lord Shiva is a liberated soul. All these things are transcendental pastimes, actually. We can't imitate Lord Shiva. He also went berserk running after Mohini Murti, passing Semana all along as he ran along the way, on the path, going crazy over Mohini Murti. We're not going to try to imitate Lord Shiva's pastimes. Don't imitate the Acharyas. We follow the instructions of the Acharyas. That's what following the footsteps means. You follow their instructions, not try to imitate them. Any other questions?
Yes, another question.
Okay, is it bad to stealthily listen to Bhagavatam at work? If you can get away with it, great. I know my godbrother, Brahmatirtha Prabhu, he was working for Conoco Oil. He was a geologist for a big oil company in Houston. And every year for Janmashtami, he would make the Janmashtami souvenir book. And he would put a note on his desk, I'm in the library. And he would be in the library working on the Janmashtami souvenir book at work. If you want to do it, if you're expert enough, do it. If you're not expert enough, don't do it. That's the answer. If you can get away with it, go for it.
Prabhupada says if you want to catch a big fish, do it without getting wet.
If you can catch the big fish without getting wet. And it's, now questions from Shamakundadas Brahmachari sitting here with us here in Pretoria, South Africa. I have not yet read any descriptions of Prishnigarbha. What does this form of the Lord look like? Is he like the two-handed original form or four-handed Narayan form? There's a picture of him in the Bhagavatam with four hands. Yeah. And that was based on Prabhupada. That was painted during Prabhupada's time, so Prabhupada confirmed he had four arms.
Means he is born, appeared in Krishna.
Yeah. The next question, Srila Gurudev, you're explaining how each word of the poetry of the great Vaishnavas has so much meaning. We attended a seminar on the Nectar Devotion by His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and we studied the verse Anya Vilashita Shunyam Ganakarmadanarvatam in so much detail, looking up each word. Should we try to do this for as many verses as possible, or only for very pertinent verses? Only for the very pertinent verses. Well, I can tell you right now, every verse in the Bhagavatam and the Gita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, every verse is very pertinent. So you can do it for every single verse. That means you have about 18,000 verses to do it on in the Bhagavatam, and about 800 in the Gita, and I don't know how many in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Bhakti Chaitanya Swami has done a great service for you all by opening your eyes to the fact that every single word, there's unlimited depth of meaning. He's done a great service for you by giving that seminar. I also attended his seminar on the Demons in Krishna Leela seminar. I love, he's very good. His seminars are absolutely fabulous. He's like an transcendental Oxford professor. I love his seminars. So you're blessed by attending one of his seminars. So yes, every verse is very pertinent. Okay. Any other questions? We have 6 minutes left or 5 minutes left now. Any other questions coming in here from the internet or from here in Pretoria, South Africa? Any of our attendees have a question? Now's your chance.
What happens to a disciple who offends his spiritual master?
He has severed his devotional kripa, and so he has to rectify. It's like what happens to a kid who cuts a child in the womb who cuts off the umbilical cord with his mom. It's certain death. A disciple who offends his guru, it's certain. It's spiritual death. He's spiritually dead until he can overcome that offense and rectify his position with his spiritual master. Otherwise, he's dead. It's happened. I have some disciples who've done that with me, and they're dead. They're in a dead position until they rectify their relationship with their guru. I'm willing to forgive them for whatever they may have done, but they have to be repentant. And they can't maintain a proud, arrogant attitude that I don't need you. I have Prabhupada, I don't need you. Such a person will never be accepted by Prabhupada, who's violating the Parampara system.
Gurudev, just to add on, if the spiritual master has forgiven the disciple, but can Krishna say that you've offended my disciple, and Krishna gets so angry that he doesn't accept that disciple?
Is that a fact?
Yes.
Krishna...
Just like it is given the example of Maharaj Ambarish. And Durvasa came and offended the Maharaj Ambarish by... without any reason. And then Durvasa created even the demon, and Sudarshan came and chopped off the demon, and then Durvasa had to run. Durvasa was so powerful, he went up to all the way.
Vishnu would not forgive him until the devotee forgave him.
He went to Vaikuntha even, but Vishnu said, no, I cannot forget you, to forgive you because you have offended me. If you want forgiveness, you go.
If the devotee forgives, then Krishna will forgive. You're saying you read something else?
No.
Okay. When the devotee forgives, then it's accepted. You can't bypass
even,
it?
Even unless the person asks the devotee, the spiritual master, forgiveness, then he is forgiven.
Right, that's the point I made. This disciple who's cut himself off from me, my mood is one of forgiveness, but it's not going to, it won't activate until he becomes repentant. My mood is forgiveness, but that's not activated. He can only activate that forgiveness by repentance.
That is applicable to all the devotees.
Yeah. I mean, I just give an example. One of my own disciples became so proud. He defied his guru. He won't even answer emails. He's completely like, you know, Mr. Jagat Guru, you know.
He was working like that anyway.
He's Mr. Jagat Guru. I don't need you. I'm Jagat Guru. I mean, it's really bad. And he thinks he doesn't need me. He thinks he can just serve anybody he wants. He can approach other senior devotees and approach them. He's well situated in Krishna consciousness. He's well situated in grand delusion. And Krishna will never accept his service until he rectifies his relationship with his spiritual master. I'm fully willing to forgive him, but he has to be repentant. He has to regret what he's done and beg forgiveness, and then he'll be forgiven. My forgiveness is ready to offer to him. I'm not holding any grudges. My forgiveness is ready, just sitting there ready to be taken advantage of. But he's not taking advantage of it by being repentant, and therefore he's remaining in a spiritually dead position. He will not go back to Godhead until he rectifies his relationship with his spiritual master. He will not. He will take birth after birth until he rectifies his relationship with his guru. That's okay. Okay, we got 1 minute left.
Everybody is coming now.
See, there's more questions? No, I haven't seen any new ones.
No, I'm saying everybody is coming now. Dasya join in. Vyasadeva join in.
You know what? Because I'm... My apologies to the devotees. The timing, I use an old timing chart. When the daylight, see, there's daylight savings, throws things off. And because here it's summer in the south, it's winter in the north, the timings are off. I apologize to the devotees who are coming on. Maybe we should go a little bit later just to pacify them, those who are just joining now. Some, we have people joining just now. And my apologies to all of you who come on just now, because actually we started an hour ago. And it's I didn't realize that there'd be the whole time chart that was working perfectly before is completely thrown off by the different seasons in the north and south of the hemisphere. So why don't we leave it open for a few more minutes so that those who come on late will get at least something.
Andrea joining now.
Who's come on now?
Andrea.
Yeah, the devotees have come in from Europe. From Romania, Andrea from Europe, we welcome you all. Vyasadeva Das, Amala Atma, we recognize all of you, and we apologize that our timing was malposted. I am going to correct the charts, so the next time we post it, you will be come on. But we would like to go ahead and extend the discussion a little bit further, just for those who came on late.
Yeah, that's okay. Thanks. Your discussion is too much.
But Guru Mata is our referee Brahman, and she says she thinks we should end to keep our schedule because we're trying to get ready to go to the airport. Today we're flying from South Africa to Melbourne, Australia, like a big, huge, like 11-hour flight, and we have to get ready. So with our due apologies to all those who came on just now, due to the mistake in the chart, we'll go ahead and end it here. And thank you all very much for coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
We will be hearing from Australia.
Yeah, we will come online in Australia and we'll be posting an accurate chart for our classes in Australia. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Glories to
Srila
Prabhupada ki
jai. His great Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.
Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi ki jai.
Jai.